Frosty, back for the second time this week. A very appropriate appearances by Frosty, looking at this country through eyes that have seen more than probably anyone else listening to this broadcast. He's been around the world and walked it, talked it, smelled it, felt it. He knows. And when he sees a country being disassembled and taken down, it's quite clear to him, it's quite clear to all of you out there what's happening. It's being, as they told me years ago, the plug is being pulled. It has been pulled. And we're seeing the implosion, the cave-in of the entire infrastructure of this country. And at the same time, we're seeing the invasion of this country by millions of invaders. These are unarmed soldiers invading this country. Hello, Frosty. Glad to have you back.
Yes, thank you. It's a pleasure. And, for those of you who are going to listen to this broadcast tonight, and we all want to wish everybody a Happy New Year 2023. If you're expecting a Happy New Year 2023 from this journalist, and certainly world traveler, I'm actually going to give you a sobering outlook for 2023. And while I live a very positive personal life day to day, doing the same things that most of us do, what's coming in 2023 will probably make 2022 look like a picnic.
Agreed.
One of the things I want to do, and I think this is important, is quote some of the greatest minds in the world as to what's going on in this earth. And first of all, I want to bring to your attention a book by Dr. William Hearn. Excuse me, Dr. Warren Hearn. I've known him for, 25, 30 years. He was a friend of Dr. Albert Bartlett at the University of Colorado, who was one of the foremost population experts in the country. And Warren Hearn is also an extraordinary mind and ecologist and all that goes with that. And he wrote a book, and I have it in my hand right here. It's called Homo Ecophagus. Homo Ecophagus. What does Homo Ecophagus mean? It means humans devouring the earth. Essentially, human beings are devouring the planet right now. And he has a deep diagnosis to save the earth. So for those of you who would like to dive into the front page, you'll see a pelican who's just caught in an oil spill, and he's gasping for his last breath on the planet. But Homo Ecophagus, H-O-M-O-E-C-O-P-H-A-G-U-S, Homo Ecophagus, literally means devouring the earth or devouring the planet, devouring the natural world. This is a very sobering book, and it's one of many. My book, America's Overpopulation Predicament, Blindsiding Future Generations, that came out last year, is sobering enough. This one goes even deeper. And for those of you who care enough about the future, please read this book. It's on Amazon. 5-star reviews, very sobering. And the key here is if you've got cancer or you've got diabetes or you've got a heart attack coming on, wouldn't you like to know about it so that you could take evasive action, that you could take remunerative action, that you could actually solve the problem before it literally kills you? Well, we're living on a finite planet, and I'll give you an example today. I love to ski. I'm a ski maniac. I'm a cross-country skier. I'm a mountaineering skier. I love to get up there, throw a pack on, and go 10 miles in and set up camp at 11,000 feet. That's just the way I'm built. And today, I was going to go up to Winter Park, which is usually about 50 to 55 minutes from my house. The traffic going up there was 3 to 5 miles per hour, and what usually takes me 50 to 55 minutes to get to, say, Corona parking lot at Winter Park, took me 2 hours, 10 minutes. I saw 15 crashed vehicles that were in the side ditches and everything else. And when I got to the main parking lot to get in from Route 40, guess what? It was completely filled. and there was probably 500 cars behind me, and they just said,
trying to get on the slopes, trying to get to buy a lift ticket and get up on the slopes.
Yeah, you couldn't do it.
That's amazing. That is
so
really
then,
something.
So let me fill in on that, Jeff.
Yeah.
Colorado right now is slated, it is projected to add another 1 million people net gain by 2030. And right now, if you go on the slopes,
we won't have to wait
Vail,
that long, Frosty. It's going to be sooner than that, I'll bet you.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah. And so Vail or Keystone or Copper Mountain or Breckenridge or you can go to Aspen, you can go to Ski Cooper, you can go to all of these ski resorts, and it's a bumper car rally. I mean, skiers are bumping into each other, they're breaking each other, they're landing in each other, they're smashing each other. It's literally, when you get this many people on a slope, you could literally get yourself killed. You certainly will get some broken bones, but you're not going to have any fun. The lift lines are an hour. They're an hour. So you've got 7 hours to ski every day. So if you're lucky, you might get six or seven runs. Yeah, 6 or 7 runs, and I'm used to getting 20, 25 runs a day. And so
Are these people living on the last of their credit? What are they doing? Where's this money coming from? I don't get it.
You know, for some reason, whatever people love to do, they're going to spend money on it, and that's what they do. So let me take that to you. And then here's the other sobering reality before we start getting to these quotes. In the United States right now, grows by 3.5 to 4 million people each year, net gain. That's over and above deaths. Right. And that's 1 million legal immigrants. That's 1 million, it's called population momentum. And that's our own population growing by another million. And then you have another million births of those immigrants. So that's 3 million. Kids from the immigrants, and then you have another 500,000 on average until these past 23 months. So that's 3.5 million. Now that Joe Biden has opened up the borders to this country for the invaders, there have been, and this was by the U.S. Border Patrol, 6.6 million invaders jumped the borders in the last 23 months. And then you have 6.6, then you have 2 million legals. So that's 6.6, that's 7.6, that's 8.6 million people who have just added themselves to the United States of America. And then that number, 6.6, you know, 6.6, 7.6, 8.6, they're going to have somewhere around 1.5 to 2 million babies. So essentially in the last 23 months, we have jumped the U.S. population by literally 10 million people. So again, if Joe Biden gets his way and we get to do the same thing for the next 24 months while he's in office, we're going to see this country jump by 20 million alone just in invaders. And they're going to take up residence in this country. They're never going to get deported. I can tell you that right now. And so what we're facing is an acceleration of the projections, and you can go to Fogel Martin, U.S. Population Projections. You can go to numbersusa.com for the population projections. You can go to the Pew Center, researchcenter.org, Pew, P-E-W, researchcenter.org. All of them will tell you that the United States is on course right now to add 100 million people to the United States by 2050. That's 27 years from now. And so then you hear all of the stories, and I'm just giving you a picture here, okay? You hear all the stories of how we're going to save the planet, we're going to save America because we're going to get all electric cars. Here's a minor detail that nobody talks about. What it takes to make one Tesla battery is the cobalt and the lithium. To do that, you have to excavate, and you can look this up, 160 tons of earth to yield one lithium battery for an electric car.
Wow.
Now, that's not just 160 pounds. That's 160 tons.
Got it.
In other words, this book, Homo Ecophagus, by Warren Hearn, will show you exactly what and how we are devouring the planet. Now, if you understand that, what that means, that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just for the lithium batteries. That has nothing to do with the copper and the zinc and the lead and all the other minerals and metals that have to be excavated from the planet to make this country work, to make your cell phone work, to make your computer work. I mean, right on down the line. And yet, the planet right now is adding 1 million people every 4 days. Okay? 1 million people are added net gain over the death rates every 4 days, a total of 83 million net gain new babies every year. Okay? Picture all of this as all of these humans, especially in America, certainly in Canada and Europe and any Western country where we consume. And again, 100, it's actually 97, 97 million barrels of oil a day. 97 million barrels of oil a day. The United States burns approximately 20 million of those barrels every day. That's the kind of homo ecophagus of devouring the planet that's going on. Trees
remember
are being
petroleum,
cut down.
Hold on. The petroleum aspect of this and all those barrels of oil, remember, they're not all used for automobile fuel. So please, petrochemicals are involved in virtually everything from A to Z in our lives.
Right.
So
plastics.
Yes, okay. We don't
right
need...
On down the line.
Electric cars are junk. They're being forced on people. And unfortunately, the people no longer have the ability to push back. They should be saying, no, I'm not buying your electric junk, because environmentally they're a disaster. We'll just clean up the petroleum burning vehicles even more. If they put an ozone generator in every exhaust system of a petroleum burning, and I didn't say fossil fuel, that's a complete misnomer. If you put an ozone generator in the exhaust line, you could breathe the exhaust coming out. It'll be that clean. It takes care of all the hydrocarbons. They did it in L.A., a fleet test, L.A. County, a fleet vehicle test, and every car was virtually emission problem free with simply putting a cheap corona discharge ozone unit in the exhaust system. It never went anywhere. That disappeared real quick. This whole thing, people should say no to electric cars. No, we don't need it. Look, you've got to power the damn things up. Where does that energy come from? You know all this, Frosty, and so do you listening. It's a joke. Another bad joke on humanity.
It's a bad joke on humanity. And here's the reason for that. The old paradigm will not give way to any kind of a new paradigm, because the old paradigm is by men like Joe Biden and his handlers who don't understand and cannot comprehend that you have to let go of the old paradigm to create a new viable paradigm. And so the old paradigm is using all the money it can to make sure that the new paradigm that would be a safer, better, and so forth form of transportation is like the fast food companies, whether it's McDonald's or whether it's Wendy's or whether it's Arby's or whether it's Pizza Hut, whatever, they do not want Americans eating solid, organic, nutritious foods. And we've talked this in the past. Because, and that one kid that was on 60 Minutes, he went to Chicago to try to change the entire food service for all of the schools in all of Chicago, was thrown out even after he showed them that the kids are getting 140 pounds of sugar. I think it was 140 pounds of sugar per year from the soda pop dispensers and right on down the line. And the reason he got thrown out is because the paradigm, the fast food and the food industry there in Chicago or any other city has all the money to crush anyone who is going to fight the dominant paradigm that has been entrenched. And that is going on, and that's why it's going on. So tonight, to show you how bad 2023 is going to get, and I talked to Todd just before the program, and he said, you know, Happy New Year to me. And I said, well, Happy New Year to you on a personal level. And I do wish a personal level of Happy New Year for every one of us to live our lives as best we can, doing the best we can in our own homes, in our own communities, in our own state, in our own cities, and so forth. But here's what we're facing. I wrote a piece. It was a 20-part series. It was part of my book back in 2009 called America on the Brink, The Next Added 100 Million Americans. And here are quotes from the top people out there. Number one, this is from University of Colorado, Dr. Albert Bartlett, who was one of the brightest minds on the planet until he passed away a couple years ago. And you can go to his website, albartlett.org, albartlett.org, if you want to see his one-hour program about overpopulation. He said, and I'm quoting, now I just gave you the numbers. Here's, you know, our country is going to add 100 million more people. Colorado is going to add 3 million more people, and we can't even deal with what we've got right now. Unlimited growth, unlimited population growth cannot be sustained. You cannot sustain growth and the rates of consumption of resources. No species can overrun the carrying capacity of a finite land mass. This law cannot be repealed and is not negotiable, unquote. Pretty sobering quote. I got to hear him give his program over the last 30 years. He gave it 1,600 times to people in Congress from 1970 on. He gave it to some of the top people in the world. He gave it to forums. He gave it to, I mean, everywhere. Totally neglected, totally ignored. And yet everything in his program is as sobering as I'm going over tonight. And yet the American Congress and these presidents since 1970 have kept the U.S. border open for no less than 1.5 million immigrants added every year. And again, they're having another million to a million and a half babies. And now those borders are open to well over literally 10 million per year.
Right.
10 million.
Unopposed. I mean, they're coming in unopposed.
Unopposed.
Okay.
That's right. All these invaders are unopposed. Here's the next quote. And I want you to, you know, breathe these facts in. These are some of the greatest minds on the planet that I've collected. This is by Dr. Otis Graham, Unguarded Gates. I quote, most Western elites continue urging the wealthy West not to stem the migrant tide that adds 83 million net gain annually to the planet, but to absorb our global brothers and sisters until their horrid ordeal has been endured and shared by all. Mm-hmm. 10 billion humans packed onto an ecologically devastated planet. Unquote. Here's a man.
When did he say that, Frosty? When was that comment? Approximately.
I read his book and I met him. Uh-huh. He just died a couple of years ago. He was from Stanford University.
Right,
and
okay.
he made that quote, I think, around 1995.
Right, right.
And that's what's happening. Now, again, give you context here, Jeff, and everyone listening to this broadcast. He said this back in 1995 when... Again, back in 1970, the average female has had 2.03 children since 1970, here in the United States, there in Canada, all over Europe, all over Australia. Mothers have been having two kids. The Western humans decided that, hey, we got to take care of the planet. The rest of the world, the third world, added another, they jumped from 3.5 billion on Earth Day 1970 to now 8 billion. So somebody out there really doesn't care. And so now all those who didn't care, who are starving to death in all these other countries, are now invading the United States of America and Canada. And the damn fools up there in Ottawa, you know, in Canada, namely Justin Trudeau, who's an absolute pimple-brained idiot, and then we have a senile old man in the White House, they do not understand what they're doing to North America. But again, go back to Bartlett's quote, unlimited population growth cannot be sustained. And in the end, it will collapse the civilization. Here's another one. David Suzuki, one of the great environmentalists, I didn't get a chance to meet him. He said, I quote, somehow we have to come to think the whole purpose of the economy is to grow. Yet growth is not a goal or a purpose. The pursuit of endless growth is suicidal, unquote. In other words, we keep blowing this economy up. We have the NASDAQ goes off the rails, and Standard & Poor's goes up. Every time the stock market goes ballistic, Mother Nature literally goes suicidal. So that's the way it is. This next one, David Orr. Mm-hmm. Growth mm-hmm. for the sake of yet more growth is a bankrupt and eventually lethal idea. Cassie is the, and that's the steady state economics, is David fighting the Goliath of endless expansion. And we know how that one turned out, unquote. Here's another one that I think is so important for each one of you that has to have food in your tummy for your family and your children. The Green Revolution, the Green Revolution was instigated as a result of the efforts of Norman Borlaug, who, while accepting the Nobel Peace Prize in 1970, said, and I quote, "The Green Revolution has won a temporary success in man's war against hunger and deprivation. It has given man a breathing space. If fully implemented, the revolution can provide sufficient food for sustenance during the next three decades. But the frightening power of human reproduction must also be curbed. Otherwise, the success of the Green Revolution will be ephemeral only." Guess what, folks? We're 50 years since he made that statement. 50 years. Yeah. 52 years. About to be 53 years.
All right, stand by. We have to take a little pause. We'll come right back. Again, lots to think about there. And we will continue with Frosty 3 days from the new year. Back in a minute. Okay, right back with Frosty from 8,000 feet in the Rocky Mountains.
8,000 feet, about 20 inches of snow last night.
So I've
been shoveling it like crazy. So
Frosty.
Yes.
Go out and grab a handful, make a snowball, and if you have a lighter or a match, see if it'll melt or see if it turns black and smells funny. I'm getting a lot of reports of that again. These are artificially nucleated raindrops, are artificially created snowflakes from massive spraying up above the visible area of the clouds. You can't see it. And see if that happens. See if you can get them to melt like ice would, or if it does something else, just for fun. Anyhow,
okay,
go ahead, please.
I'll try that. And there's no question, as more and more jets, I mean, think about this. Did you all see what was on the major news networks tonight? All of the people that Southwest couldn't fly, that canceled thousands and thousands of flights.
Yeah.
And then there was baggage everywhere. Well, that was all here at DIA, which is Denver's International Airport, which is one of the big hubs of the world. I'm here to tell you, what about another 100 million people trying to get on an airplane?
Won't work.
It won't work, exactly. I mean, not even 50 million, not even another 20 or 30 million.
I didn't even think we could absorb 10. No.
Yeah, and here's this Green Revolution, and Norman Borlaug made this statement at the Nobel Peace, and, you know, ironically, Norman Borlaug, with, you know, having the Green Revolution actually caused greater starvation down the road, because he allowed more people to be born because he fed more people, and that means more people are going to die. But as it is right now in the year 2022, 4 million children under the age of 12 died of starvation, and 8 million adults. That's 12 million people who have lived totally wretched lives and died because of starvation. And again, look this up. This is right there. You can look it up on the facts. You can look the UN projections, the whole thing. And so think about all this coming to America, the invaders. People are going to move to where there is some food. They're going to move to some viable civilization, and then they will make that civilization completely
you know what else,
non-operational.
Frosty, they're moving here because literally they are promised food, shelter, education, cars, medical, dental, for the rest of their lives for free. That's what the communists are offering these people. That's why they're coming up here. They're not being forced out of their countries. They're not refugees from some tyrannical regime, necessarily. They're coming here for the free handouts. It's the same thing socialism always offers people.
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, if you notice and you watch all those lines crossing the borders there in Arizona and down in Texas, and I was down there this summer. I saw it personally. It is happening, folks. I saw the thousands. I saw tens of thousands. I was down there in Tucson, Arizona. You just cannot believe it unless you see it. So here's another quote that I think is important. We must alert and organize the world's people to pressure world leaders to take specific steps to solve the two root causes of our environmental crisis, exploding population growth and wasteful consumption of irreplaceable resources. Overconsumption and overpopulation underlie every environmental problem we face today. Jacques Cousteau, oceanographer. Jacques Cousteau is the man that got me in a 72-cubic-inch tank, and I started scuba diving way back in 1963, and I got to scuba dive all the oceans of the world except the Arctic Ocean. And guess what? I personally got to see in my scuba diving around the world, the Indian Ocean, the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Galapagos, you name it.
Yeah.
Plastics have taken over the oceans. They're everywhere. They're on the reefs. The reefs are dying because they're getting acidified. So how can we add more people to the United States of America and think that's going to work out for all of our children? So there is a sobering reality right there. Here's the next quote. Upwards of 100 species, mostly of the large, slow-breeding variety, are becoming extinct every day because more and more of Earth's carrying capacity is systematically being converted into human carrying capacity. These species are being burnt out, starved out, and squeezed out of existence thanks to technologies that most people, I'm afraid, think of as technologies of peace. I hope it will not be too long before the technologies that support our population explosion begin to be perceived as no less hazardous to the future of life on this planet than the endless production of radioactive waste. That's Daniel Quinn. We are killing 100 species a day into extinction. Now, how long can we do that? And E.O. Wilson from Harvard, who just passed away recently, said that we will lose, literally, by 2050, 27 years from now, a third of all vertebrate animals on the planet at the current rate of extinction, and could go to well over half before the end of the century. Jeff, I mean, these are some of the top minds in the world. Now, we got to ask ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, fellow citizens of America and Canada and Europe and around the world, do we want a planet where we, the human being species, has proliferated? Again, we just hit 8 billion in November. That was last month. We had 8 billion. Remember, it was 3.5 billion when I was a college senior. And we're headed for 10 billion. We had a billion net gain every 12 years. No one's talking about it. And as I sent this note to Jeff tonight, I said I also sent him a letter that I have sent to 60 Minutes, to Anderson Cooper, to Terry Gross. I've sent it to Dana Perino. I've sent it to Martha McCollum. I've sent it to Diane Sawyer. I've sent it to Tucker Carlson to interview me on what the heck is coming at us like a runaway freight train. And again, that my books have not, they won't touch this subject, but this subject's coming right at them. Here's another one. We've poured our poisons into the world as though it were a bottomless pit. Fukushima, 84,000 chemicals, and we go on gobbling them up. It's hard to imagine how the world could survive another century of this abuse, but nobody's really doing anything about it. It's a problem our children will be forced to solve, or their children, unquote. That was by Daniel Quinn. Here's another one. As we go from this happy hydrocarbon bubble we have reached now to a renewable energy resource economy, which we must do in this century, will the civil part of civilization survive? As we both know, there is no way that alternative energy sources can supply the amount of per capita energy that we enjoy now, much less for 10 billion humans expected by 2050, and energy is what keeps this game going. We are involved in a Faustian bargain, selling our economic souls for the luxurious life of the moment, but sooner or later, the price has to be paid. Unquote. That was by Walter Youngquist, who died just the last year or so also. He was a brilliant doctoral energy expert. So that is something we've all got to look at. This conversation should be in every diner, every restaurant, every family, sure. every governor's home, every senator, every House member, every mayor of every city, because this stuff is not fun for anybody. Here's another one by Arnold Toynbee, the historian. He says, and I quote, "The U.S. will set a record in the rate of rise and fall of an empire. Between wide open borders and the fall of the dollar and growing population against a declining resource base, the U.S. will be defeated from within. Mobs will rule the streets in the nation that is now the third largest in the world and unable to support its population except by taking resources from other countries." Unquote. When you start looking at what's going on in New Orleans, it's the new murder capital of the world. You look at what's going on in L.A. You look at what's going on in San Francisco. You look what's going on in Chicago and New York City. Yeah, we're in a lot of trouble. And Arnold Toynbee, the historian, stated it very simply. Okay, here's another one. Imagine we live on a planet. Not our cozy, taken-for-granted planet, but a planet, a real one, with the melting poles and dying forests and a heaving, corrosive ocean racked by winds, strafed by storms, and scorched by heat, an inhospitable place. It needs to be a new name, E-A-A-R-T-H. That's by Bill McGibbon, and he wrote that book, Earth. Making a Life on a Tough New Planet. I actually met Bill McGibbon at Washington, D.C., and he's the one that heads the 350.org. But these people, like I say, are top people in the country, and they know their stuff. And we need to be taking action on that, and we're not. Here's another one by the Club of Rome back in 1972. If present growth trends in population, industrialization, pollution, food production, and resource depletion continue unchanged, the limits to growth will be reached sometime in the next 100 years. And this was back in 1972. And sure enough, we are already 30-something years into that. And that was very optimistic. And then you have the power of population is so superior to the power of Earth to produce subsistence to humanity that premature death must in some shape or other visit the human race, unquote. That was 1798, Thomas Malthus. Now, you'll hear a lot about Thomas Malthus and that we fooled him. And we fooled Paul Ehrlich, whom I also got to meet. I really got to meet. Every time I shook hands with one of these guys, it was like, oh, my God, I'm shaking hands with one of the greatest minds in the universe at this point in time. But Thomas Malthus and Paul Ehrlich, he had his population bomb, and he had the population explosion. And they all say, wow, we fooled him. We got Bolog gave us the Green Revolution, and we fooled Ehrlich, and we fooled Malthus. No, we didn't fool them. Their timing was off, but they were dead on the money. Here's another one that's just absolutely fantastic. Dr. Albert Bartlett. Again, go to www.albartlett.org. his quotes. Watch his video. His video verifies everything I'm talking about here tonight. Can you think of any problem in any area of human endeavor on any scale, from microscopic to global, whose long-term solution is in any demonstrable way aided, assisted, or advanced by further increases of population locally, nationally, or globally? Unquote. Mm-hmm. Can anyone say, across America, I don't care if you're a college student, I don't care if you're a high school student, I don't care if you're a mother or a father, I don't care if you're rich or you're poor, you live in a gated community, or you live down in a hovel of L.A. with 69,000 homeless. Can anyone state, or with any kind of rational thinking, can they say that we need more people in the United States of America, and that's going to improve our country and or our civilization? Jeff, can anybody say that?
Frosty, it's just disintegrating. What can I tell you? You know, it's disintegrating. The people are no longer capable of mounting any kind of a meaningful response to the outrages being perpetrated upon them in virtually every facet of their lives. Now, in addition to the population issue, we have another side of the coin to look at. All coins have two sides. We have these injections that are being an absolute grotesque lie called vaccinations, which were developed and owned right now by the Department of Defense. These have nothing to do with the CDC, nothing to do with public welfare. The DOD is a military weapons building and distributing and employing organization. That's what these shots are. We don't know if the Deagle.com projections are going to play out or not. If they do, at least temporarily, these horrific and correct projections about population will be set aside. Frosty, if the Deagle projections are correct, and I'm thinking that I think they may be, in 24 months, we will have less than 100 million people left in this country. Many of that 100 or 99 million will actually be composed of invaders who are being brought in here, and none of them are being given the injections. None of them are being shot up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 times. They are supposed to survive and replace European Americans. That's their primary mission. And they're going to reduce this population down to 99 million. The original projection when these came out in 2003 was 54 million. Now it's up to 99. Nonetheless, your points are extremely important. If these shots do not happen to play out, which I see no reason why they won't, we're in trouble. We're in trouble either way. Okay?
Oh yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
The coin can land on either side, and we're screwed. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's exactly. So here's what I did. I wrote this letter last year, and I started writing it again to all of the top people across this country to hopefully give you a voice. To 60 Minutes producers, Leslie Stahl, Whitaker, Scott Pelley, Leslie Stahl, okay? Interview with you for 1 hour or whatever you deem adequate. America's accelerating human overpopulation predicament, growing from 335 million in 2022 to 440 million by 2050. Such numbers cannot be sustained as to water, energy, food, resources, and or climate change or what is called catastrophic climate destabilization. How to change course toward a sustainable and thriving civilization. Dear 60 Minutes producers, the United States accelerates its population numbers toward another 100 million more people net gain by mid-century. Virtually all of it's driven by mass immigration and their birth rates. We find ourselves riding a Faustian bargain as we gallop over a demographic cliff. Over the past 45 years, I've bicycled across 6 continents and as well as all 50 states and all of Canada. I witnessed overpopulation in the cities and countries around the world. Once the numbers manifest, solutions become few and consequences become crippling. A trip to India or China will give you an idea of their overpopulation predicaments. They can't solve them. Toxic rivers, erratic environment, devastating loss of quality
Frosty,
of life.
Between question. Between China and India, and you've been through both, which is the dirtiest? Both are over 1.3, 1.4 billion.
Right.
They cannot take care of their populations' common sanitary needs. I'm trying to keep it clean here.
No, they can.
The rivers are full of effluent, untreated effluent. Which one is which country is in worse shape, or would you put them pretty much on a par?
They're almost on par, but the filthiest is India. India, 70% of Indians, again, get this, you can go to Indian Times for verification of this. 70% of the people of India do not have access to a toilet.
A toilet.
70%. 100% of people in China with 1.4 billion, headed for 1.5 billion, cannot breathe a lung full of fresh air. Can't do it. So my last part of my letter to all these heads of these networks, unfortunately, the United States continues as the third fastest growing country in the world behind China and India. But we didn't choose that path. Congress chose it in 1965 with the short-sighted Immigration Reform Act that flooded our country with over 130 million more people. We chose a 2.03 fertility rate in 1970. The rest of the world jumped from 3.5 billion to 8 billion in 2022. At 83 million net gain, new babies annually, the world will add another 2 billion by 2050. Such numbers wreak havoc with the natural world, with climate change, mass animal extinction rates, deadly plastics destroying ocean life, 84,000 chemicals injected into the air, the land, and the water, and accelerating consequences. Dear producers, let's educate the American public as to what their children and your children face. Let's show them what needs to be done to change course. Thank you, Frosty Wooldridge, Golden, Colorado.
You know, Frosty, I can honestly think of no one more deserving to be on those venues than you. I really can't. I'm not hyperinflating this. You are the spokesman for America. In so many ways, no one else can do it like you do it. They don't have the experience. You are an experiential genius of this planet. No one else has that. And if those people could sit down and talk to anyone, it ought to be you. And I hope it happens. I don't trust any of them. I know who owns them and operates them, but you're being heard. Believe me, you're being heard.
And thank you to all of you who wrote me letters over the letter I sent to my dad. And that session we had on Tuesday, Jeff, I've got over 100 letters that came in. Thank you for your expression. Yeah. I'm writing my father today. I'm calling my mother. It was so heartening. I know I got choked up, but that letter chokes me up even 58 years later because that was my dad. And that my emotions are definitely on my sleeve. One other thing. I got to see as a truck driver out of United Van Lines for Corrigan Moving Systems back in 1977 when I started moving furniture as a summer job when I was a teacher.
Yeah.
That's when that 1965 Immigration Reform Act started changing the face of America. I would buzz down to Tampa and nothing flat. I could go out to Sacramento, nothing flat. I'd go off to Houston, Texas. I'd go off to New Orleans. I went off to New York, no big deal. But then as those numbers started piling up through the years and into the 90s, and I stopped truck driving in around 2005, that's when we added 130 million more people. That's when everything became insane. Traffic, unbelievable. Air pollution, unbelievable. The chemicalization of our skies, the crowding, the jamming, the prices hiking up. Yes, I was lucky enough to get to see that, and it was just by good fortune. And now I am a voice for everyone because I've been the truck driver, I've been the teacher, I've been the cardiac med tech. And we need to get out here and please, everyone, in 2023, you have got to raise your voices. Because what's on all these quotes tonight is coming right at you, right at your family, right at your kids. And we need a complete, total change, a course change here in the United States. It can only happen if you, the American people, stand up, speak out, and take action. And I'll be with you the whole way. I'll help you. Email me anytime, frostyw@juno.com. Get this book, Homo Ecophagus, by Warren Hearn, H-E-R-N, on Amazon. Educate yourself. And let's change the course of history. It's going to be up to us, because nobody else is going to do it for us.
Nobody. And that's the darn truth.
Yeah,
Frosty,
that's exactly right. Okay.
Another year of magnificent contributions. Thank you for being who you are and for caring. And you've got a lot of people out there who really respect you more than that. They revere what you're doing. So you're welcome. All right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good night. Frosty Wooldridge, once in a lifetime, you run across people like Frosty. He's that special. Everybody's special in their own right, if they still care, if they've given up and they expect handouts, if they feel entitled. Nah, you can have them. Okay, we'll be right back with more after this.